Hello, welcome back to Gem City Diversity. I am Alexis Webster, and today I am here with three representatives from the Hope Collective. I will allow them to introduce themselves, and we'll talk all about the Hope Collective, how to be an ally, and why it's important to do so.
All right. Well, hey, my name is John Morgan. My pronouns are he and him. I'm the pastor of Hope Collective Church.
My name is Addison Webb. My pronouns are she and her, and I'm one of our connection coordinators at Hope Collective.
Hi, I'm Gail Webb, and I'm the other co-community coordinator with Hope Collective Church.
All right, so for those who don't know, what is Hope Collective Church?
We are a brand new church in Dayton, Ohio, and we meet at the Neon, the iconic Dayton Neon movie theater. We have been in existence, really, we started in 2020.
Just in time for COVID.
We started online, but for the last year and some change, we've been meeting at the Neon Theater.
Mm-hmm. So how was the journey from being virtual to going in person?
It was really easy.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's surprising, especially for a new church.
Yeah. We found out even online that our mission and vision was really needed in the Dayton community. We started to gain a lot of traction, even doing worship and small groups online. When we started meeting in person, it was just kind of a natural flow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We stayed with masks for quite a while, social distancing for quite a while until folks were comfortable meeting in person.
Yeah.
Because that took a lot of adjustment.
Yeah, I mean, COVID took a lot from so many people. So coming back into the swing of things, I'm sure that it had its problems. But I'm glad to see that you all are overcoming them and back in person for the first time. What is the core mission of Hope Collective?
Hope Collective's mission is to develop inclusive communities where people can discover sacred worth and calling.
Mm-hmm. So how do you go about doing that?
Very carefully. You know, we go about that a lot of ways, but I think the primary way that we go about doing it is when people come in the door at Hope Collective, they're a person.
Mm-hmm.
They have worth and they have value and they are loved. And we don't hesitate for a moment to tell people that they are loved. We say that multiple times every Sunday.
Yeah.
And we mean what we say. And I think that right there goes a long way towards helping people feel like they belong, especially so many people in the LGBT community are not used to hearing that phrase.
And everybody just wants to be loved, accepted, and valued. And the fact that you all make sure that you strive as a core mission to make sure that people feel that way, that's amazing. In order to create these inclusive communities, what does your outreach look like?
Well, one of our main goals is not to create our own outreach, but we want to find partners in the community who are doing amazing things and partner with them. And so we found out this was really difficult to do at first, and that's why we have Addison and Gail, because they help us develop those partnerships in the community.
Nice. Yeah. So how do you go about building those relationships?
It starts off slow, and I wish that it were faster, but there is a lot of church hurt to overcome, and John knows from experience, too, when you walk into a room and people say, oh, hi, who are you from? And you say, oh, we're from Hope Collective Church. The word that they hear is church. And in the LGBT community, that's like throwing a bucket of cold water on the ground. And so you have to first overcome that.
Yeah.
And it's not as easy to do as it sounds because, and I hate to use the term mistrust, but a lot of people in the LGBT community mistrust churches simply because they're churches.
Absolutely.
And you have to overcome that. And that takes genuineness and time.
Mm-hmm. Is that how you build the relationships, through being genuine and taking the time to
get that, and also participating in different activities that they have? Like with you all, we met through Coffee with the Cops in Hoover Heights. And then, you know, that gave us that introduction.
Yeah.
And then we continued to touch base, and, you know, when we were invited to talk at a retreat. you know, we went and did that, and we tried to, not just with you all, but like have a yay day. We work with them, and we've gone to some of their activities because that shows them that we're genuine, that we have that desire to embrace them and embrace us, and that builds that relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and making sure that you're present and just getting your face out in the community so that people know that this is a place where I can go and fill out those. You mentioned a lot about church hurt. How do you overcome church hurt? Or what is church hurt for those who don't know?
Well, it's hard to define sometimes because church hurt can look different to different people.
Absolutely.
And everybody's experience with church is different. But when we interact with other organizations or with people that we meet, we do so with no agenda whatsoever. We're not trying to ingratiate ourselves into their lives or take over or tell them who they're supposed to be or anything else. We just want them to know that we love them for who they are right there in their life, where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, it's just all about the relationship. And so people who mistrust us because we are a church, one of our core values is that we are who we say we are. And over time, they will see that that's true. And being real, and John can back this up, I didn't trust that at first when I met Hope Collective Church. And I was very honest about saying, I'm not sure if I trust this. But John listened to what I had to say. And he didn't put any conditions or strings on it. And I have found that true with everybody I've interacted with at Hope Collective Church. And that's what we try to do when we go out. And whether we attend another organization's event or we're just talking to people on our own, we want to hear what they have to say and what their experience was. And regardless of what that experience is, it's important to us that they know that we love them for who they are.
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned meeting people where they are, because that's a day-to-day thing. Because that one day I'm at this position in my life, and then the next day I'm somewhere completely different. And every time we interact, I'm meeting you at a different place. But I love you, so I'm still going to meet you wherever you are.
Yeah, we feel like when we tell people you are loved, I think at first it's the message is that you're loved by God.
Yeah.
You're loved by us as well. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing, like in our mission statement, that you have sacred worth and value to God.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times when people are hurt by the church, they'll equate that to being hurt by God. And so we want to say, no, that's not. God wouldn't hurt you.
Absolutely.
People have.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot of injustice, misservice, however you want to say it, as the church, the big C, and there's just a lot of space for healing that we're trying to create now.
And I feel like sometimes people can confuse themselves for God. So they think that they have that jurisdiction to say, like who somebody is. And you're not, that's not our place to judge anybody.
Right.
So just that message that not only do we love you, but God loves you.
God loves
that's
you.
So important. How does one go about being an ally?
Very carefully.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, I would say you get to know the person, and you get to know where they stand. Like for Addison being transgender, I have always strived to learn more about what that means and what it means for her. And I can be mama bear at times when she's concerned. I'm not just that way now with her, but with others within the LGBTQ+ community.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts?
We learn and listen and keep listening and keep learning. We meet every Monday as a staff. And how many of us are there, like eight or?
Roughly.
Yeah, depending on the day who shows up. Addison and Gail teach us a 10 to 15-minute lesson on the letters of LGBTQIA+. And that's how we start off all of our staff meetings, because we need to learn. We need to listen, to understand. I'll just say that I'm tempted sometimes to say, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
I know what it means to be an out. And as soon as I think I got it,
You go right back to learning.
That's right, because I don't got it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the other thing you can do, too, is when you introduce yourself to somebody, tell them your pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And that encourages, especially if you have somebody who's gay and they're hesitant to say their
mm-hmm.
pronouns. That gives them that permission.
Yeah,
and that knowledge that, hey, I support you.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you took that time to ask that.
Mm-hmm.
We started doing that in when we were online in 2020. I learned it. My coach is actually a pastor out in Chicago, and we modeled Hope Collective after Urban
nice.
Village Church. And so he's been coaching me, and it must have been like July or August 2020. He said, you all have to start using pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, the first time we did it, it felt weird to everyone
mm-hmm.
in the room, but then it only took like one or two
mm-hmm.
times.
Yep, you get used to it. And you
we got
it
used
home.
To it,
yeah.
And then people started telling us, as soon as we heard you introduce yourself, whoever, if it was Addison, Gail, me,
mm-hmm.
Mia, whoever on the platform, they said, as soon as you said your pronouns, we knew we were in the right place.
Mm-hmm. And that's
yeah.
so important because just like you were saying, Gail, that does let you know that you're safe and you're supported here. Yeah.
And I can speak to that from personal experience. When I heard them online before we ever attended a church service,
mm-hmm.
I noticed immediately, picked up on that within just moments, that the first person who got up and said anything gave their pronouns.
Yeah.
And I've never seen that in a church group before. So that got me going down the trail of starting to trust the church.
Mm-hmm.
How to be an ally is such a wide field. I will say one thing that, speaking as somebody who's trans, if somebody wants to be an ally, they can go online to Google and they can Google how to be an LGBT
mm-hmm.
ally. And then they can read 1,000 web pages that tell them all the things they should do and shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is to forget all that stuff. The most important thing is to not worry about the checklists or getting it perfect, because we're all people and nobody's going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Real talk, I'm as transgender as it gets. I still misgender myself
mm-hmm.
at times without
mm-hmm.
even thinking about it. It's just out of habit. The best way to be an ally from my perspective is to be willing to learn and be willing to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do those two things, you're knocking it out of the park.
Nice.
And that's one of the things that John did when we first met. And that really made an impression on me.
And to be in relationship with one another,
yeah.
too.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we start loving each other, then
mm-hmm.
we want the best for each other.
Yep.
Just like the Webs want the best for me, I want
absolutely.
The best,
mm-hmm.
the best for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah.
I always talk about how people get stuck on like the role as opposed to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the role ally isn't so much a role as it's a relationship. I'm literally being your friend. I'm supporting you however I can and making sure that you are on the platform that you deserve to speak from your voice and your experience. Knowing that we all need allies, why is it so important to have them?
It's a support system.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just, you know, you have people like PFLAG and LGBTQ+, and that, where they have their different organizations. But if I'm Addison's ally, I know Addison. I take the time to get to know her,
mm-hmm.
her likes, her dislikes, her pet peeves and stuff like that. Where if I'm in this organization, I don't do that because it's not like one-on-one then. It's a group.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the group size, it can get to the point that you can't get to know each other because it's too large.
For LGBT people, in general, in their day-to-day lives, there's a perception, and that perception exists because it's true, that a lot of the times it is them against the world,
mm-hmm.
and the world against them,
mm-hmm.
that they are standing alone,
yeah.
especially if the family members that are supposed to love them reject them, and if the church that they grew up in that is supposed to love them rejects them, they very quickly get to a place where, and it's all too common, where they feel like that they're alone. And even having just one person in your corner makes all the difference
mm-hmm.
in the world. And two people is icing on the cake.
Yeah.
There's research that shows, and I don't remember the exact number off the top of my head, but the incidence of suicide attempts among transgender people, for example, drops like a rock when they have even one adult in their life that is accepting of them.
Yeah.
And so being an ally makes a lot of difference. It's difficult to say how much. It's a huge impact.
Absolutely.
Well, sometimes I just sit and listen, and I just love to hear what Addison and Gail have to say, and a lot of our church folk. It's hard for me to say why it's important to be an ally, but this is what I know. When we hear everyone's voice, and when everyone is participating in whatever we're doing, then we're just better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, to me, that's really important. It's important for our community. Just that everyone's voice gets heard, that everyone has a seat at the table, that everyone knows that they're valued and loved and they have sacred worth. And I think that's why I love what I do so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just because then I feel like we're more complete when everyone's together.
Yeah.
And when everyone has a voice.
What you mentioned is so important, and the fact that the statistic drops so much with just one person. And it doesn't say that it's one parent. It doesn't say that it's one aunt. It doesn't say that it's one teacher. It says one person. So this means that an ally can be anybody. It doesn't have to be someone in a specific role, kind of going back to the role versus relationship thing. All it takes is for somebody to show that you are valued, that I appreciate and need you being here. Someone else needs you here for whatever reason that may be. What do we think is the difference between authentic and performative allyship? Or is there a way to tell the difference, do you think?
I don't know if you can exactly tell the difference, but I think in your heart you can.
You can feel it.
You can feel it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you will have people that will just be, you know, they'll be, say they are an ally, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's their words, and they think, you know, because I said I'm an ally, I'm
mm-hmm.
good. But it's not that.
Mm-hmm.
An ally is literally relationship. Getting to know that person, getting to know their hurts, where they're coming from, what they need.
Yeah.
And learning about not just themselves, but whatever letter that they are in the LGBTQ+ community, because that gives you a better understanding of where they're coming from,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, their needs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The more we get to know that, the more we can love on them, and the more we can embrace them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think performative allyship becomes obvious. Up front, it looks the same,
mm-hmm.
but it quickly becomes obvious. Gail and I participated in church environments in the past where they said, hey, everybody is welcome. And you can ask many LGBT people, if they see a church that has a sign outside that says, all are welcome, they know that means all are not welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And right or wrong, that's just the truth of it. But we've been in churches who every week stood up front and said, hey, everybody's welcome here, who then told us that we wouldn't be welcome to do things like serve communion, or even help on a church cleaning day. And I'm not really sure that the gender of the person scrubbing the floor matters. It becomes obvious fairly quickly whether somebody is sincere in their allyship or if they're saying it because they think they have to.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are sincere about it, one of the things that's quickly obvious about that is their willingness to change if they realize that they don't have something quite right.
Yeah.
Which I have seen modeled very well in Hope Collective. I've seen the direction that we were going on something change if we realized that there was something about that wasn't quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And that matters to me.
Yeah, I think that there's that sense of accountability there, because especially if I know that this is someone that I care about, if I know that something I'm doing is affecting them, I'm not going to continue to do that thing, or I'm going to try my best not to continue to do that. Absolutely.
That just reminds me, we were looking at our pride swag, you know, getting ready for some important events coming up. And what you just said reminded me of when we had flags that represented different gender identities. And then we also had the ally flags. And one of the folks from the community said, this isn't the day for the allies to shine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we gathered all those flags up, you know, and put them away. And that's one of those shifts, you know. I think it's important to listen. It's important to just understand each other at a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. Those may seem like little details to some people, like the flag or announcing pronouns. Like, they seem minuscule to some people, but to other people, that makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the thing that lets me know, is this something that is performative, or is this someone sincere and genuine in their efforts to make sure that I'm feeling like I'm included and welcome and valued in this space. So we will shift gears back to Hope Collective. When do you all have services?
We worship Sunday mornings in person, 9 a.m. and 10:15 a.m. at the Neon. The online service is pre-recorded, so it's more personable to the folks at home. And you can find that on Facebook and YouTube at Hope Collective Church.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that answers my next question, which is going to be, how do people reach out? So you have Facebook, you have YouTube.
Twitter is HCC Dayton. But that isn't as interactive as the other two, as Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, and is the Instagram Hope, the Hope Collective?
At Hope Collective Church.
Okay.
Everything's at Hope Collective Church except for, it was too long on Twitter. Yeah, so I just put HCC.
I don't know what Twitter does with those characters, but it's always.
And then our website, actually the website I think is pretty fascinating. It's hopecollectivechurch.org, and you can meet the staff on there. Mm-hmm. And there's a section that says Ask Addie.
Nice.
And Addie addresses a whole lot of questions that folks would have before they go to worship. Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool. So we'll make sure that we put all of that in the description and stuff so that people can find easy access to you all. And I want to thank you all for coming out and talking to us. Anybody have any last comments for the wonderful viewers?
I have one.
Let's hear it.
I wanted to mention that Hope Collective Church is truly inclusive. We are not specifically a gay church.
Mm-hmm.
We have transgender people. We have gay people. We have straight people. We have white people. We have black people. I sit in a room full of people whose only purpose is to be in community together, and we do not exclude people on the basis of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is absolutely wonderful. It is a good feeling to be in a room with people who aren't just like me.
Yeah.
But I'm still comfortable being.
It makes me feel like warm. And we talk a lot with the kids about diversity, and I always use the example of this episode of SpongeBob where Squidward, he moved away because he was just so sick of everything that Patrick and SpongeBob brought to the table. So he moved to Squidville, where everybody is the same. They do everything the same. I mean, they eat and play the same clarinet and all this stuff. And he realized the world was so sickening when it was just everybody was exactly the same. Yes. So that diversity that everybody brings, we need it. And not only do we need it, we have to learn to appreciate it and to value it. So thank you all. That was my SpongeBob tangent. I am so glad that you all came. Great conversation. I look forward to seeing you all in the near future at different events, at different meetings. I'm just so excited. And you all know where to reach the Hope Collective Church at now. So thank you so much for being here.
You are loved.